expecting God to bless your heart today. And if you came expecting that, I promise you, He will. If you came here this morning not knowing why you're here, just relax.
Sit back and let the Lord and the Holy Spirit speak to you, and you'll find out why you're here this morning. Let me share a couple of quick announcements with us before we begin our time of worship. Tonight, there's movie night at 5:30. The movie is I Am Not Ashamed. This is something the youth are doing. But listen, if you want to come to the movie, you don't have to be a youth. You can act young tonight and come to the movie, right? So that's something for all of us to do this evening if you like a good movie. There's April the 2nd. We're going to have Ronald Edwards along with New Hope. They're going to come and they're going to help us worship the Lord here. So something to look forward to. Be prepared for that. I think basically they do that good old-fashioned gospel stuff. So come and expect to have a good time with that as well. It's going to be, this is April 23rd, this announcement. This is for the 101 class. That's our membership class. If you want to be or are considering or are interested in membership in Christ Community Church, you need to come to that 101 class, something to plan ahead and think about. Also, on the 25th, there's going to be a hockey game. The 25th, if you're interested in that, see Jack Minard. He's the one that's leading that up. So I know he's a big fan. Maybe some of you are as well. There may be some other things of interest. If you haven't got a bulletin, make sure you get one. That's how you can keep track of what's going on here. We're looking forward now to a good time of worship. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and a praise band is going to be coming out in just a minute. We got them sequestered back here, and they'll be coming out to lead us in our worship time. Well, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and wait for the Lord to come and share with us this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord. You've done so much for us. You showed your great love for us. God, you sent your Son to die on the cross so that we can be forgiven of our sins and have a personal relationship with you and the joy and the knowledge of our future home in heaven. We just thank you so much, God, for that. We thank you for this day and all who came. Lord, I know there's people here this morning that things going on in our lives, whatever it might be, Lord, whether it's something good or whether it's something bad or challenging in our lives, Lord, we just ask God you to speak to all those things today. Help us, God, to be who you want us to be. Go with us, guide us, and direct us. Be with our praise band this morning as they lead us in worship. And we thank you for all you're going to do. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you want me to entertain while we wait for a praise band to come out this morning? I'll not do that. Okay. Have you ever tried to be quiet for 15 seconds? Seriously, have you? Do that sometime. Stop, check your watch, and just be quiet for 15 seconds. God might have something to say to you. Do that.
Ready to go. Y'all ready to go? Then let's go.
Who shall I fear?
Relationship with God, not a religion that you're coming to and you're checking off a list of do's and don'ts and hitting some kind of minimum standard. We're talking about walking and knowing the God who directs the angels, who created heavens and earth, who gave His Son to die for our sins. Do you know that one? Because that's what we're here about. We're not here about something else, and it's good to get that right from the start. When we're praising Him, we're not praising Him because we have to. We're praising Him because we get to. Amen.
This moment I see you shaking your head in disgrace. I can read the disappointment written all over your face. Here come those whispers in my ear saying, who do you think you are? Looks like you're on your own. But in the shadow of the shame, deep down by all thief on the cross.
Man, y'all know that grace, that winning grace? You know, two real quick points from the Bible. It says when sin abounded and got big, grace abounded so much more. Sin brought death. That's true. But grace brings eternal life. That's Bible, man. That's Romans chapter 5. And last one, James 2:13 says this, very end of that verse, mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. Woo! you're here with Nani's class. Ready, break. Here we go. This is four-year-old to kindergarten. If you're visiting and you have a four-year-old to kindergarten, they can go with Nani, who is very trustworthy. But if you don't trust her, you can just stay here. She's like, why don't you trust me? They're just going to know you, Nani. They don't know you all the way yet. It's a family-friendly place. You can keep your babies in here. But we do have four to kindergarten goes with Nani. And our first through sixth graders are already back in their class. And so that's just FYI. It's good to know. It's a good deal. But I know sometimes as we visit places, we like to keep our youngins with us so they don't get all freaked out by strangers. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10. We're going to read verses 1 through 16. This is what the Word of God says. Then he arose from there, came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan, and the multitudes gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. He answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. In the house, his disciples also asked him again about the same matter. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Then they brought little children to him, and that he might touch them. But his disciples rebuked those who brought them. When Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and he said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he looked, and he took them up rather in his arms, he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Let's pray. Father God, would you be with us? We're just laying your word out, and we love you, and we're just here to hear from you. Would you help us, Lord? Specifically, would you help us with condemnation? And would you help us with the chip some of us have on our shoulder trying to justify our own ways and means? Would you help us today to walk out of here lighter? Not bearing any condemnation, not carrying any chips on our shoulder, just to walk out of here free and happy in the Lord. Father, we love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This passage deals with divorce and remarriage, which is just so exciting to preach on. I'm preaching through the Gospel of Mark, and this is the next spot up. I freely confess to you, I would not choose this passage to preach on ordinarily. You might say, why? Because it's so complicated, and lives are so complicated. And as soon as you say the D word in a group this size, somebody's giving you the evil eye. Some of y'all might have shut off already. Some of y'all may have been in a church service where a pastor has condemned or thrown all kinds of guilt on folks who've been through divorce. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to give me a chance. Give the Bible a chance and listen. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It don't bring condemnation. It brings life. It brings truth. Okay? But we've got to be honest where we stand. Amen? All right. I just said amen, and I said it a couple times earlier. I just bring that up because my son said, Daddy, ever since we got back from Beautiful Feet in Texas, you've been saying amen all the time. And the only thing I can think to say in return to him was, amen. so we're just going to roll on. Divorce affects every, probably has affected everybody in this room at some point, some way or another. My parents saved me from being divorced. They just decided not to get married. Okay? So that just, they just, I was like that song, Love Child, you know? Never meant to be a thing. And, you know, anyway, I can dance about it now, but can I tell you, all that's about grace. Grace wins. Because when you get a chance, you go to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and read verse 2. Deuteronomy 23 verse 2 says this, a child of illegitimate birth, bing, 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 shall not be allowed in the assembly of believers to the 10th generation. Wow. That would mean my children, my children's children, and so on and so forth would be not allowed to attend the gathering, the assembly of the brethren. Why? Well, it's just the way it was. That was part of the law. But I'm here. I'm not a law preacher. I'm a gospel preacher. I'm not of Moses. I'm of Jesus. That's not to say that there's a discrepancy in the Word of God. There was a time for the Moses. There was a time for the law to bring us to the point where we knew we needed grace. To bring us to the point to where we knew all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm here to tell you, as a grace recipient, to say, man, we need to get this thing right, but we need to be honest. We need to see where we stand, and we need to say, Lord Jesus, help us, right? Now, my grandparents on my mother's side, so my mom's parents, they divorced shortly after I was born. And, you know, I think, did I have anything to do with that? Oh, of course not. It was my dad's fault. And anyway, well, me, I was just a baby. What could I have done? You know what I'm saying? I hadn't done nothing. I wasn't real cute, but I don't think they held that against me. I had a real weird head. But anyway, I still do. That's why I keep some hair on it. It's ugly. But the bottom line is, as a result of that, you know, I never knew life any different. But when it was, let's just take Thanksgiving Day. On Thanksgiving Day, we'd get up really early in the morning, and we'd be hustling, and my mom's doing her ladies, you know, thing. She's putting on makeup, doing her hair, and doesn't get it done in time. So my stepdad, who she ended up marrying, he has to hustle her into the car, you know, come on, we got to go. And so they get in there, and she's still doing her hair, and she's spraying perfume, which there's a type of perfume that kills me to this day, because we'll be in the cab of the car. You know, and I didn't know to say to my mom, a little dab will do you. You know what I'm saying? But she's like, psh, 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 psh. And all of a sudden, there's this cloud misting into the back seat, and I'm like huffing on it. You know, and I don't think that was good for me at all. But anyway, the reason we had to hustle so much is because we had at least four places to go, and they weren't even on the same part of town. You know? We take some time to go see my dad's family, which is the Deuson family. You know, my name, I have two last names. Y'all know me as John Goldwater, but my full name is, my last name is Goldwater and has a hyphen, and then Deuson. So we go visit the Deusons. And then we go visit the Illuals, which that was my stepdad's family. He was Maltese, like the Maltese Falcon. Anyway, he said all the bad Italians got... They were from Sicily, but the real, real bad ones were from Malta. Anyways, I don't know if that's true. That's what they used to say. And so we'd go visit their family. Then we'd jump over to my grandfather on my mom's side, and we'd go see him. And his place, he didn't do like much decor or anything. He just laid out lunch meat and some windmill cookies. And, you know, everybody just kind of came in, hey, Grandpa, hey, you know, grabbed a roll up a sandwich, high-fived, and like was out the door. And then everybody at the end of the night ended up at my Grandma Goldwater's house because she partied. You know, that was like where the party was. And we'd play cards and we'd just get loose and all those things. But I figured everybody went on this whirlwind road trip that would take all day, and everybody's hitting all these different families. But why was that normal to me? It's only normal because there had been, you know, this not togetherness. There was a divorce. There was a breakdown here and there. And it's like, it just became strange. When Sarah and I got married, I started getting used to saying, you know, things could be different. I feel bad for her family, the poor old Walters family, because it came to Thanksgiving. And Sarah said, where do you want to go? And I said, nowhere. I don't want to go nowhere. I don't want to get in my car. I'm going to treat it like a Sabbath day. I don't want to go 300 steps away from my home. You know, and she was cool with that. So we didn't go see nobody first year we were married. And I cooked a turkey. First time I ever cooked a turkey. And I forgot about the, I'm not going to say it, but the guts, the neck, the giblets and giblets, all that plastic, all that was still up in the front of the turkey. And I baked it. Now, let me tell you something. To this day, that was the best turkey I've ever made. It was. It was the best. Sarah and I ate. I just lumped butter on it, and I put all that stuff was still inside. The only thing I could think is it leaked, and it gave that turkey gut flavor, which is really good. I didn't know any better, but you know what happened to me now? Every Thanksgiving, they make me make the turkey. They're like, "Well, he makes such a good turkey," and the truth is, I made one good turkey. You know, I've been trying to chase that turkey ever since, like trying to get the magic first turkey. You know, I've even left it in there on purpose before. I'm like, I'm leaving it. I'm just leaving it in there. It just hadn't been the same. But I realized how divorce and remarriage and different things affected my life, and I didn't know any, you know, I didn't have a perspective of any kind of difference in that. Okay? So Jesus is here talking. He's teaching. Jesus wasn't teaching on divorce and remarriage. Jesus was teaching the people. You know, he was probably teaching more on how to receive the kingdom of God. He was probably teaching, you know, he started teaching more about his death and resurrection. He started doing these things. The religious leaders of the day come up to him and ask him this question. And it says right in the scripture, they are testing him. You want to know why? Because this is a testy question. That's why I wouldn't pick to preach on it. But God put me in this series. So you got to hear it. You know what I believe? I believe somebody needs to hear it. Somebody needs to hear it. Maybe a bunch of somebodies. And God's wisdom is much greater than my wisdom. And so I'm glad to be preaching it. Okay? But Jesus didn't ask this question, but he answers it. They asked him, testing him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Jesus said, go to the Word of God. What does it say? They come back to him. Moses permitted divorce. And Jesus said, you're right. So Jesus' answer starts off like this. It is lawful. It's lawful. It's according to the law. Moses says it's in the law. It's in Deuteronomy. You have to go back. I forgot what it is now, but it's probably saying in Deuteronomy 24. It's in there. Okay? But Jesus' answer doesn't end there. He says it's lawful, but it's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Everybody I've walked with through a divorce, everybody I've seen in relate to divorce, you know, would I think would agree with me. If you don't have a chip on your shoulder, and if you're not so beat down, I think you would agree it's not really fun. It's not funsies to go get in a divorce. When in my home church in Michigan, I used to hear this. The preacher who I love, and I wouldn't say anything disparaging about him, but I think there was a flaw in this one place. When he talked about divorce, he made it seem like it was a guilty pleasure. Like somebody was sneaking off to do something fun. You know what I'm going to do today for fun? You know what I'm going to do to have a great time? What? What are you going to do? I'm going to go ahead and get a divorce. Y'all, I ain't never seen a fun divorce. Have y'all? Anybody here? Now, I'm not saying I ain't seen some where people have been, man, I need to get out of that or this and that, but y'all, it ain't fun. And Jesus' answer is, it's lawful, but it's not the way it's supposed to be. And he begins to talk about marriage the way it's supposed to be. And he goes back to the beginning. It's wild to me that when Jesus answers about marriage, he's really talking more just about the divorce issue at this point. But when he talks about marriage, he goes all the way back to creation. He said there's a pattern and a message in creation. He goes all the way back to Genesis 1. And for this, I'm going to use some partners to help me out. He said he made them male and female. Male, just in case, and female. In our culture today, divorce and remarriage isn't the hot topic it used to be when it comes to marriage. What's the hot topic now? Male and female. Was it like Jesus was looking down the hallway of time and saying, somewhere way down the line, they're not even going to know which one is which and which bathroom to go to and where to do and what to say? Look, we live in a culture now where we might say, what about gay marriage? I think the answer would be the same from Jesus. In America, it's lawful. Not according to the Word of God, it's not, but in America, it is. The Supreme Court made it in June 2014, but it's not the way it's supposed to be. And you know what? For folks who are in that boat, there ain't no need for condemnation. No need to have a chip on the shoulder either. You ought to say, look, it's not the way it's supposed to be. In the beginning, God made them male and God made them female. And he said, it's when both equally made in the image of God, neither one inferior to the other. When that marriage happens, Jesus said, not only is it male and female, but he says it's a forever thing, the way it was supposed to be. It's a forever thing. He says, let those who are joined together not be separated. What God has joined together, let not be separated. Okay? That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, let me ask you something. Does everything in your life go the way it's supposed to be according to God's plan? Because I don't know about y'all, but in my life, not everything has gone the way it's supposed to be according to God's plan. Why do we get so bent out of shape about this? I think it's because it's so intimate. It's so personal. You know, it's such a part of us. And then we've heard messages of condemnation like, you sinner, you guilty, vile sinner going to get a divorce for fun. And it's like, that's not why it happens. I know God understands that. How many people, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I see this all the time. People who've been divorced and remarried feel like they ain't good for anything in the church anymore. And they almost have heard that message. You ain't good for this, you ain't good for that. What do you think Jesus says about it? We're going to see that in a minute. Before we get there, let me illustrate this too. About divorce in the way it's supposed to be and not supposed to be. Imagine a little girl, and these were her dolls. And I'm going to try to be a little... Imagine a little girl that weighed 340 pounds and had a big goatee. And she's got her dollies. Okay? And she's playing, and she's like, and the princess was so pretty, and she was in the kingdom, and then the prince came, and he was so strong, and then they fell in love, and they got married, and they lived happily ever after. Oh, but somewhere between happily ever after, and all of a sudden, the prince decided that he didn't want to talk to the princess anymore because they had got grown apart. And then, you know, the princess started talking to this dude because he really cared for her. And then the prince was like, she's hot. And then next thing you know, they're kind of like with other people. And then you know what happens next? Then they start fighting. Why did you do that? Oh, just because you didn't listen to me. I don't listen to you because you don't respect me. You don't love me. I don't know. I don't even love. I don't know. And then the prince and the princess got really expensive divorce lawyers. And then they fought. Ta, ta, ta. Do you imagine a little girl playing like that? And then they fought over, this is my baby. No, it's my baby. No, it's my baby. No, it's my baby. Half of it's yours and half of it's... That was my notes. Half of it's yours. And no little girl playing like that. Why? You might say that they're naive. Well, these little girls are just naive. Maybe they just know the way that it's supposed to be. It's not always the way it is. And we got to drop the condemnation deal. We got to drop the idea of justifying it and wearing a chip on our shoulder like, well, it's not the way it's supposed to be. Just it's all right. I'm obese. God didn't make me to be obese. I know that word sounds disgusting. I'm an obese. I'm an obese. I got type 2 diabetes. You want to know why? Because I arm wrestled my pancreas into submission. There ain't nothing wrong with my pancreas. I just outmanned it. I'm like, come on, sucker, bring it on. You think you can make insulin? You can't make no insulin. I can eat so much sugar to overwhelm your insulin. It's sickening. I'm tougher than you. I said, you're my pancreas and you will listen to me. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Someone might say, John, you think it's sinful? Yeah, I know it's missing the mark. I know how I got this way. I don't have a thyroid issue. I might have a thyroid issue, but I got this way because I'm addicted to buffets. Okay? It's not the way it's supposed to be. I don't need to wear a chip on my shoulder and be like I'm big and beautiful and that's just the facts, Jack. I don't have to hate myself either. I'm just me. And God loves me. And I'm not perfect. And God still loves me. And guess what? You're just you. You might not be perfect in your circumstances either. You're not perfect in your circumstances either, but God loves you. This is just the bottom line, okay? Now, the disciples, write Matthew chapter 19 on your, if you didn't rip your bulletin in half, write Matthew 19 on there. Just anywhere, it don't matter. It's good for research, okay? In Matthew 19, we see an extended session than what we have in Mark. Same stuff, but it's an extended form, gives some other details. And this is what we know about the disciples. The disciples said this, if this is the case about marriage, that you can divorce, then why would we ever get married? You know, it was common in there. They're like, why would we even do it? Why would we lock ourselves in to one relationship over time? And Jesus does give them this option. He says, look, marriage ain't for everybody. And he said, there's some who, now he uses the word eunuch, but the idea is there's some who stay single from birth, some are made to stay single, and some are single because of their choice in the kingdom of God. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that choice. But he says, if you're going to marry, this is how it's supposed to be. And if you stop one and start another, he's saying it's like the sin of adultery. Okay? Now that's where a lot of us get hung up and we go, adulteress! Let me say this. So what? So what? Do you think if God was going to save you from your sin, he's going to stop at that? You think if God was going to stop from bringing you into his family, that was going to be what was going to throw him off base? Oh no, you've been married more than once. Oh no, I don't know how I'm going to use you. Let me give you a for instance. I'm going to give you two for instances from the Bible, okay? Number one is in John chapter 4. Jesus runs into this lady. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Woman at the well. He's talking to the lady. He says to her, go call your husband. What does she say to him? I don't have a husband. And he says to her, well said, because the truth is, you've been married and divorced 5 times, and the dude you're living with, he ain't even married to you, just shacking. So what did Jesus say after that? Shame on you, you dirty adulterous woman, shame, shame, boo, hiss. Know what he said? He said to her things he didn't say to anybody else in the gospel. He taught her that he was the Messiah. She was so taken by what he taught her that she left the water she came up for. She came up for water. She left the water pot there, runs back to town, gathers up the menfolk, says, I've seen the Christ, I know who's going. And all of a sudden she becomes the first missionary to Samaria, leads a whole bunch of people to Christ. They all become believers. It's an awesome thing. Did Jesus condemn the woman? Shame on you. You'll never be used. He commissions the woman. He ain't looking to drive us down. Listen, it's not the way it's supposed to be, but there's so much in my life and in your life we can point to and say it's not the way it's supposed to be. Does God love you or not? Does grace win or not? We need to let grace win in this area of marriage and divorce. Not recognize, not lowering the standard, but just saying, yeah, mistakes have been made. Bad decisions have been made. Hard things have been made. Hard decisions and painful things. But I'm going to go forward with God. Can we not do that? And there's another case. Gospel of John, chapter 8. There says there's a woman caught in the very act of adultery. A lot of interesting stuff in that. You're wondering, how did that even happen? Sounds like a setup. How could she be caught in the very act of adultery by herself? There wasn't nobody else there. Just we caught her in the act of adultery. Well, where's the him? You know, so it sounds like a setup. They're trying to get Jesus to okay killing this woman and condemning her to death because that's what the religion required. Jesus, in that famous scene, as y'all know, gets down, draws something on the ground, stands up and says, whichever of you have no sin, throw the first rock. And he goes back down, drawing on the dirt. And they all drop their rocks out of their hand and they all leave. Do you remember what Jesus told that lady? Who is here who condemns you, honey? I don't know if he said honey. but I'm just adding that. She said, no one. Then what did he say? Neither do I, what? Condemn you. So why do we got so much condemnation on us about this issue? Why do we got so much, why is there so much hurt? Why is there so much, why has religion grabbed a hold of this and just beat people in the head? You're not the way you're supposed to be. You're not the way you're supposed to be. Buddy, I wasn't the way I was supposed to be from the time I was born. It's only because of the grace of God I can even think about being who I need to be. It's only because I've been invited by the Son of God that I can have a hope in heaven. It's not about me being who I'm supposed to be. It's not about you being who you're supposed to be. We need to stop it. We need to stop justifying. Oh, I there ain't nothing wrong with my sin. Oh, I got to, don't you say anything to me about this. Don't you say anything to me about this. Man, I had earlier in the week, I had a fear about preaching this. I'm like, man, people are going to get me. Doc's going to get me 4 times. You ain't got nothing on that lady. Anyway, point being, religion's always finding a reason to reject and condemn. Jesus is telling the truth. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And there's consequences to the decision. Live with it. It's like the sin of adultery. Say, all right. You might say, well, what's the solution? Do I go need to divorce the person I'm with because of this or the adultery and that? No. Man, that's dumb. You do what you do with every sin. You come to Jesus Christ with it. Stop. We need to stop trying to contrive and figure out a way to make ourselves right. Come to Him, let Him make us right. Amen? Okay, now, this last part of the verse, which I'm not going to hardly spend any time on, last part of this section, has to do with the little children. And so I'm going to start the invitation time right now, okay? Because these little kids wanted to come to Jesus. The old fogies didn't want them to come to Jesus because they were going to bother Jesus, quote unquote, bother them, right? This wasn't going to happen good. Don't bother the master, he's preaching. Don't bother the teacher, he's teaching. Don't bother them. When Jesus saw that, it says he was greatly displeased. I can't emphasize that enough here outside just growling. He was greatly displeased. Like, don't you forbid them to come to me. A long time ago, we started our children's program based on this verse. Don't forbid the children to come on to him because children want to come to know Jesus. Children seem to be already ready to believe and accept and to trust. Children don't come to church and to Jesus trying to prove they're good. They come just trusting. Somehow or another, we always are trying to balance the scales out for God. To show God why we're worthy to come to Him. We need to stop all that. And we need to say we're not worthy to come. We're coming because you invited us. We're saying yes to you. You invited us to come. And that's why we're coming. Not because we're worthy. Not because it's within our power, but because you said, come on, we're coming on. Don't you forget how Jesus dealt with those people, us people who have problems in their marriage, us people who have problems with their life in different areas and sin. Jesus didn't condemn them. He received them. He taught them. He sent them out. You are not in a place where you cannot be used by God. Did y'all hear that message in the music today? Wasn't it so good? Grace wins. For the woman at the well, grace wins. For you and me, grace wins. It's time for us to let grace win. And if you've been toting around condemnation, guilt over what's happened in your marriage, might have been a long time ago, somehow or another, guilt has great handles for us to carry things with. And it might be that today you'll let that go. You'll let that go for God's sake. Right? You'll let that go and say, I'm trusting Jesus. I'm not trusting I'm getting there because I had a perfect life. I'm trusting there because I have a perfect Savior who gives me eternal life, though I'm not perfect. And if you've been carrying a chip on your shoulder, well, you won't let nobody talk to you about this issue, not even from the Word of God, would you humble yourself before God today? Whether it's this issue whether it's the issue of what we spoke about, homosexuality. Man, we have folks who struggle with homosexuality come to our church all the time. Maybe some here now. I don't even know. I don't even care. I want them to be here. I want them to hear about the grace of God. I love them. I don't hate them. But to have a prideful chip on your shoulder like, this is where it's supposed to be, ain't going to do you no good with God. God's not impressed with your parades. God's not impressed with our demands. God says, come on to me. Let all that other stuff go. So maybe there's some chips that need to fall off some shoulders. Maybe there's some guilt that needs to be let go. This time is your time, okay? These kneelers, which I'm still bragging on them. You know, we have some folks come on and do our kneelers. I just love them. And anyway, we got these kneelers. We got these steps. You got your chair where you are. If you need to do business with God, if you need to let something go, let it go. Don't carry it out here. Don't carry the guilt out. Don't carry the chip on your shoulder out. Leave it at the altar. God will sweep it up later. He's the janitor for sin. I don't know if you knew that or not. He sent his son to clean up. And he did. Because he's perfect. Let's pray. Father God, help us to trust you as our perfect Savior. Not try to live the lie of a perfect life. Not to try to condemn those who have a life that appears to be less perfect than ours. And if there's guilt, and where there is guilt, like big old heavy suitcases loaded down with bricks, help us to just let them go. That's it. Let that guilt go. Let grace win. In the place where we won't face that it's not the way it's supposed to be and we're trying to justify and prove ourselves, help us to drop that chip off our shoulder and humble ourselves and to say, you are my Savior and my Lord, and I need you. Whatever our case is, Lord, in this area, would you help us? We give it all to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now's your time. If you need to come up here and pray, let it go. Hey, why even carry it? Just let it go.
Cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
I'm going to ask the ushers to bring come up for morning offering. And as they do, I just want to remind you, you know, that if God started something or if he got you thinking about something, he'll keep you thinking on it. Don't be afraid of that. Do business with God. He loves you. Come from it from a point of view that it says in the Bible, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That's Bible. Right? We come dealing with somebody who loves us, not somebody who's condemning us. So do business with them as you can. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us, and thank you for this time of offering, and we give you all the praise for it. We do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Guilt and grace.
it ain't no problem being in the arena when you know grace wins. You know, it's no stress. It's all right. It's all good. We can be happy and saved. Amen?
Amen.
I told him I said amen all the time and that you're calling me on that. You know, I'm trying to watch. I only get like 10 amens a day or something like that. I'm on a quota from my son now. Anyway, I forgot now all what I was going to say, but I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. I almost forgot. You know, we had some folks that joined the church, and we introduced you to a big group of them last week, but there are some that weren't here because they had some sickness going on. But I'm going to ask if they'll come forward right now. Don't make me say your names because y'all got to say your names. It'll blow the surprise. Y'all come on up. It's all good. We're also going to be having a membership class. We're going to be having another membership class March, I want to say 26th. April 26th? I don't think. It's somewhere. Something on a 20. Huh? April 23rd. If it says it in your bulletin, that's what I would go by. And so, there we go. If you know, this is for coming to join the church.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, look here, man. Isn't this pretty cool? And so, let's start down there. Just introduce yourself.
Jimmy Sawyer.
All right. So I thought I've been calling you Jimmy Stewart for this whole time.
Rachel Downs. Natalie
Cody. Downs.
Woo! Now look. When I cut everybody loose, they're going to run off, okay? But I want, do you see their face you got in your mind? Find them and hug them, okay? If you're already a member here, find them. Stalk them down. Don't let them get away. I'm not going to make them stand up here. I'm just sending you all after them, okay? All right, y'all can go ahead back to your seats. And now find them, okay? Find them. April 2nd is a Sunday. Ron Edwards, who's been in our band up here for 19 years. And Miss Judy had been in our nursery for 19 years. And they've taken a sabbatical. We ain't released them. They just got a sabbatical. It's just a rest time, okay? But Ron has done joined up with the rest of some of his kin folks, some of them Edwards, and they got a quartet. More than a quartet. They got a band. I don't know what you call it. What do y'all? It's New Hope, but there's more than four of them. Isn't there? Okay, so it's just a New Hope. Okay, and there's more than four of them, but they're going to be here April 2nd. That's a Sunday night. And at 6:30? 6? 6 in the bulletin? Y'all, sometimes the times in the bulletins are subject to change. Be here Sunday night. But I'm going to tell you something about his nephew, Tom. He rocks. Now, we love Ron and everything, but Tom Edwards is a recording artist. He rocks, man. He is awesome. He really is. I'm not. That's not exaggeration or anything. It's going to be good. All right? You just want to be here. And last night was good. Wild Game Supper. Everybody who did something with that, awesome. Great job. I think that's it. Let me pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. Tonight is movie night. At what time? 5:30. Tonight, it's about the Columbine thing. I think it's called Do You Believe or something like that, or I Believe, or I'm Not Ashamed. Not perfect. Said that already, right? Okay. So that's tonight. I can't think of anything else. Wednesday, we have church at 6:30. Ron. We're going to have a potluck. Yes, there's a potluck on April 2nd for that singing. So if coming to hear really good singing just ain't your thing, but you're kind of hungry, come on. Right? All right. Is there daycare for the little kids tonight? I have no idea. I don't do any of this stuff. I just preach here. But I'd say, hey, look. It's a movie. I'd say bring them if you got to bring them, but you might have to watch them while you bring them. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if anybody else is going to be watching Youngins. I'm sorry. I just work here. Is that a bad answer? A pastor is supposed to know things. Just bring them. You bring them, but just watch them. All right. I'm going to wrap it up and pray, and then we'll be gone. And catch them. Y'all see right there, Rachel and Billy and Jimmy's over there. And okay. All right. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you that grace wins for people like us. Because that's your design. It's always been your design. The law served a purpose to show us how much we needed grace so we wouldn't depend on our own ability. It was a tutor to bring us to Christ. So, Father, help us to live freely and happily under the grace that comes to us from the man of grace, Jesus Christ. Help us not to have any condemnation, guilt, or pride about these things. Father, help us to just leave them. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Work!